Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Just what is going on? Did you know life can be confusing sometimes? I remember years ago, probably 10 years ago, we were in Washington, D.C. It was my immediate family and Cindy's sister. She lives there, and so she was our tour guide. We were at the traffic light just north of Ford's Theater, where Lincoln was shot. It was about noontime, and the little light came on for us to cross, and there are people coming at us, and we're going south. And literally, I'm glad I have witnesses for this. I am halfway across this busy road with obviously only so much time to get across, and this lady stops me and says, "Do you need directions?" I must look helpless or something when I'm walking down the street. A, if I need directions, not now. How about if we get out of the middle of this intersection? That's a true story. A conscientious fellow in Washington, D.C. decided he'd better build a bomb shelter on his property, and he filed for a building permit. His request was turned down at first because the plan violated the zoning ordinance. It didn't have any windows. Confusion. I like it where in 1 Corinthians 14 it says, God is not the author of confusion. In the context, it's talking about order in the church, particularly with the use of tongues. But I do believe that that extends to all aspects of God. He is not the author of confusion. We may get confused because we don't know what He's doing. But that's for us to trust. It's not to generate confusion. You've heard it said, I'm sure, that life is like a tapestry. We see the back. All we see is the chaos of thread. But you look at the other side and there's a picture. It makes sense. But how many times do we see life from the backside? And I want to talk about this tonight. People that have been confused, but they trusted. Because I think we've all been there one time or another. What is God doing? Because earthly speaking, it makes no sense that God would allow this to happen. Whatever it is in your life. And we feel like we're looking at the back of that tapestry. But this is why we see the recurring theme throughout Scripture. Trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior for your salvation. It's apart from any works. And then once you're born again, you've put your faith in Christ. Then put your faith in Christ for daily living. It's all about faith. Salvation begins at faith, apart from any works. We live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And this is a key to tonight. When we are so confused, and God says, just relax, I'm not confused. And praise God, He's not. How many times, though, do we put our trust in the difficult times in the wrong things? I want you to remember this. When you're worried, when you're fearful, when you're confused, the person you go to first is the one you have the most trust in. Now, you know what the obvious conclusion there is. We should be taking everything to the Lord first. The expression, there's nothing left to do but pray, is wrong. That's where we should start. People will trust in riches, money. If only I had money. Or we would trust maybe in earthly context, princes. As a contact, if only I knew the right person that they could pull strings for me. Don't put your trust in people. How about putting your trust in a military? In the Psalms, they called it the chariots and in horses. Folks, trust in God. This is an overwhelming theme throughout Scripture that Christians should live by faith. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. That's easy to read. We could probably memorize that in the next 15 seconds. Now live it. That's the problem. But yet, aren't we supposed to be literally living Scripture, not walking out of here with head knowledge only? Would you please take that challenge every day? I am going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. And I'm going to stop leaning on my own understanding because my understanding says this is a confusion. When life makes no sense, God's in it. We're going to see a few examples tonight. He is leading us. He is developing us. He is trying us. He's doing a lot of different things. Sometimes it's not even about us. Maybe God wants our testimony to shine before somebody else. Maybe God's going to give you a hardship so that somebody can watch your reaction and see your faith in the Lord. It has nothing to do with, why is this happening, God? Take it away. God says, no, you're kidding me. I want to use you as an example. What an honor that is. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, we all know that. That's another reason why sometimes God lets us get into hard times. No, there's the trying of your faith. There it is, trying of your very faith in God. And God is the only one who can try that faith. When He pulls back and your prayers don't seem to get answered. Now do you believe me? It's easy. Sitting in a comfortable chair in an air-conditioned room, say, oh, we love you, Lord. Wait. Wait till He pulls the rug out from underneath you. Now do you trust me? Did you know we don't like it when God hides His intentions? And He does not let us know what He's doing. We don't like that. We like to have all of our proverbial ducks in a row. We want to know about second base before we even get to first base. And then if you tell us all about second, we want to know about third before we get to first base. Because we like to know what's happening, and God says, no, trust me. I'm not going to tell you. We're going to look tonight at a few instances in Scripture about people that surely, earthly speaking, were confused. And we're going to see God working in those confusing circumstances. How about Joseph? Probably one of the most famous stories of all Scripture, Joseph in Genesis. His father prefers him over his brothers, which is wrong. Parents, love and do your best to treat your kids evenly. We're human, we're going to falter at times, but you do your best to not pick a favorite. You love your children. God brought them into your family for a reason. Joseph was favored by Jacob, and his brothers hated him. They hated him. He didn't pick it. He didn't ask to be the favorite. But it came his way, and it caused him a lot of headache. Well, Jacob sends out the brothers, but keeps Joseph back. He sends them out to take the flocks. Go find pasture. Some time passes, and he says, Joseph, now I want you to go out and see where your brothers are. Check and see how things are going. Let's see. They could have gone just about any direction. He had, I'm sure, some ideas by the landscape. I'm sure he knew the terrain where possibly they would be. But it's like, okay. And he sets out by himself. And I want you to see Genesis 37:15. And a certain man found him. Behold, he was wandering in the field. Just wandering. I don't know. I'm trying to obey my father. I'm doing the best I can, but I'm wandering. Do you ever feel like you're wandering? Like, what is going on? Lord, wouldn't I be so much more effective if you would just tell me where they are? I could get the job done, go home, and get back about my business. And God says, just keep wandering. Because in that wandering, look where he wandered. A certain man. Not just any man. A certain one. A handpicked one by God to meet Joseph in his wandering, because God knew where Joseph was going to wander. And when God lets you wander, you're going to wander exactly where he knows you will go. We think we're wandering. God says, I know your seeming confusion will lead you exactly where I want you to go. Trust him. A certain man, not just any man, a certain man, he says, what seekest thou? He says in verse 16, he says, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, he knew. This wasn't a random happening. They departed thence, for I heard them say, he was close enough to hear him talking. And he's wandering and happens to find this one guy. And I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them. And guess what? They sold him into slavery. And it changed his life forever. Did you know that God didn't tell Joseph what he was doing? All I did was obey my father. And I am now in a jail cell in Egypt. You think he's confused? God doesn't tell us what he's doing. He says, trust me. But God had a plan. Look at Genesis 41:41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. He was terribly confused. But God led him in his confusion. It was for Joseph to trust and obey. How about Israel in Egyptian bondage? Did you ever wonder about this? Why did God let the children of Israel be put into bondage for over 400 years? Does God ever let you be put into a situation? It's like, what is going on? You see, while Joseph was over all of Egypt, Israel had life pretty good. But Joseph died and things severely changed. Exodus 1:8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt which knew not Joseph. Boy, it didn't take long for this political climate to change. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore did they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. What did we do? Life was pretty good. Time passed. Joseph dies. Pharaoh dies. New king arises. And we're in bondage. You see, they were confused. But the protective hand of God was upon them. God gave back in Genesis chapter 12 a promise to Abraham. Unto you and your seed will be a great people and nation. Will be blessed through his seed. You see, God chose Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Jacob. And he wanted the Jewish people to be a people special unto him. And through them, he was going to bring in Messiah. And he gave them rules and guidelines to keep themselves pure and holy and righteous and separated unto him. People should look at the Jewish people and say, I want what you've got. What is it? And they said, let me tell you about my God. But it didn't always work that way. You see, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, they're told, given instructions, Moses is rehearsing them, and he says, neither shalt thou make marriages unto them, thy daughter shalt thou not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. In other words, the people of the land, don't let your kids intermarry. Keep them pure and separate. Well, what happened in Genesis 38:1? It came to pass that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite. His name was Hira. And there he sees a daughter who's a Canaanite, and he takes her and has relations with her. They're not being careful to keep the bloodline pure. Joseph is setting precedents for others who are going to follow. God is not pleased with what Judah has done. And yet God was already preparing, because at the time Judah was doing this, Joseph was on his way to Egypt. And God knew that the children of Israel were going to get themselves all sorts of messed up because they're going to start intermarrying. And so God took them down to Egypt. Things were okay there while Joseph was alive, but when Joseph died, all of a sudden, this nation of Egypt, all of a sudden says of the Jews, "We hate you. And we're going to put you in bondage, and you're going to be these little peon people isolated all by yourself." You see, if they didn't control themselves, God said, "Well, I'll put you in a position where you will be controlled. You're not going to go among the people of Egypt because they hate you." And so sometimes God has to bring oppression, because it drove the children of Israel to be a tight-knit family. We're in this together, folks. That's all God wanted to begin with. But sometimes He's got to club us over the head pretty hard till we get the point. Surely they were confused, but God was working. I want to show you another one, confusion. How about when it finally came time, in Exodus 12, the Passover has occurred, the death angel has gone by, the firstborn has died, Israel was protected because of the blood on the doorposts, they are therefore given a quick exodus out, and now here they are leaving from this 400-year bondage. Exodus 13:17, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let them go, that God led them not, He did not lead the children of Israel through the way of the land of the Philistine, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt." God said, "I cannot take you the direct route. I have to take you the long way. Because you are not strong enough right now after 400 years of bondage. You are a people, but you're not ready. I don't think you've got the faith in me yet to get you past those Philistines. You're going to see war, and you're going to run from it." And God says, "I can't take you the short way." Christian, how many times God can't take us the short way? Because it's not good for us. We're going to see things we ought not to see. "Lest peradventure the people repent when they see the war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea." Earthly speaking, we could say, "God, why don't you take me the short route?" And God says, "I can't. You don't understand. There's things there that I don't want you to experience. We're going to take the long way. I'm going to have to go through the wilderness, and I got to take the long route." Yeah. Yeah. "And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt." God intentionally took them the long way. There will be times God will literally take you and me the long way. And earthly speaking, we could say, "Why don't we go there?" And God says, "No, I'm taking you the long way. Because you're going to see things that are going to devastate you." And by the way, do you know where the long path led to? The edge of the Red Sea between a sea and an Egyptian army. Oh boy! Now that I finally got here, and God there showed His mighty hand to the children of Israel. Sometimes the direct route is not always the best, but God knows it's for us to trust. How about Judah in Babylonian captivity? They didn't understand. Take a look at Jeremiah 29:4. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives," underline it, "whom I have caused." God would cause His people to be carried away captive? Yes. "Whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon." Ouch. God did that? Yes, God did that. Because God is in control of armies. He is in control of governments. He is in control of kingdoms. He is in control of economies. He is in control of everything. Put your trust in God. Jeremiah was called then in their captivity to preach and to speak to them. And he said these words in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace." Peace! What do you mean, peace? Yes, peace. Not of evil. To give you an expected end. God says, I know you don't fully understand, but this is going to mold and make you and change you. I have an expected end. And sometimes God puts us in the fire because he hasn't expected any. He says, I have thoughts of peace. How about another one? Persecuted disciples. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, "And Saul, who would have become the apostle Paul, was consenting unto his," Stephen's, "death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church." Lord, why? Why? Wouldn't it be so much more effective if we could freely move about the city? If we could freely talk to the people? If we could openly worship? Oh, Lord, but we have to live in this terror and fear of persecution. And Stephen was stoned. Oh, Lord, wouldn't it be so much better? There's already confusion with the Jewish system coming to an end and the church starting up. And this confusion, and now we're being persecuted. Read it again, Acts 8:1. "At that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria." They had to take off. Those of you who were with us in times past, we did a study on 1 Peter. It starts out to the believers scattered. Scattered. They had to flee persecution. They fled to Asia Minor. Look at Acts 8:4. "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere," underline it, "preaching the word." God was in it. I know what I'm doing. If I persecute you, you guys are going to spread the word of God all over. But if I don't persecute you, you're all going to stay put. The confusion really had great purpose. God knew what he was doing, and he knew what the persecution would do to the people. God is working in the midst of confusion. Paul could not go to Rome. In Romans chapter 1, Paul writes this beautiful letter to the church in Rome, and he says a series of reasons why he wants to come to them. And he says in verse 13, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren." He's writing to born-again people, "that oftentimes I actually determined to come to you, but was let hitherto." I couldn't do it. God prevented me. Why did he want to go? Well, I want to have some fruit among you. And he talks about sharing a spiritual gift as you search the passages around it. And he wants to be established with them. He wants to fellowship with them. Oh, Lord, why won't you let me go? Because you won't write the letter of Romans if I let you go. Paul had no idea that here he was. Put yourself, if you will, back 2,000 years ago. And here's Paul, wanting to take a trip, and God keeps preventing him. I have been able to go on 3 missionary journeys. I've been all over the place. I've been across the Mediterranean, on and on and on. And I can't get one more trip back to Rome. What is going on? And God says, I can't let you go because I need you to write it down, because people like Cape Baptist Church 2,000 years from now need to hear what you have to say. And if you go to Rome, you won't write it down. You don't understand a guy by the name of Gutenberg and his printing press. And you don't understand bound Bibles. And you don't understand what's coming. Paul, trust. I know. And Paul had good reasons. I could share a spiritual gift. I could be blessed. I could be established. I can have some fruit among you. And they were great ideas. But God's got a bigger picture. He sees 2,000 years from now. And he says, I can't let you go. I have to put you in some confusion. Just trust me. Just trust me. Paul had very good reasons, but those reasons were not in accord with God's purposes. Therefore, he could not let him go. I would have to say, throughout the years, when I have people come to me and they share a burden that they're carrying, these next verses are the most popular I have shared. Job 23:8. Behold, I, Job, go forward, but he, God, is not there. And backward, I can't perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hides himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He was confused. Front, back, left, right. Where is God? His strength is in verse 9. On the left hand, where he doth work. He had faith, knowing that God was doing something. He couldn't figure it out. I don't know what it is, but I trust my God. And he looked forward to the future, and he said, but he knoweth the way that I take. There's that wandering. I'm wandering like Joseph. He knows the way I'm going. I don't even know. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. There will be times in your life, probably some of you are sitting here tonight, this message is for me because I am confused. There will be times you will be terribly confused and God says, trust me. Like Joseph, we can wonder about our imprisonment. Like the children of Israel, we can wonder why we're in Egyptian bondage. Like Israel, we cannot understand why God takes us the long way. Like Judah, we cannot understand the Babylonian captivity. Like the persecuted believers, we can reason that God should take it away. And like Paul, we can have a bunch of reasons why we should be able to do something. And God says, no, those aren't sound reasons. I've got bigger plans. But did you know in each one of the cases we looked at tonight, we know the rest of the story. And God was up to something good. Because that's all God is capable of, is good. Even when he takes us the long way, even when we're wandering, even when we're in Egyptian bondage, even when we're in Babylonian bondage, even when we're persecuted and scattered, we had to leave our friends. God says, I am up to something good. Would you trust me? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.